Mario F. Kassar and Andrew G. Viner present a Jonathan Mostow film, an Intermedia IMF production, in association with C2 Pictures and Mostow Lieberman Productions. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. A Voice in the Darkness.
The future has not been written. There is no fate but what we make for ourselves.
An atomic bomb strikes a city, sending up a huge mushroom cloud into the night sky. Then, everything turns black.
I wish I could believe that. My name is John Connor. They tried to murder me before I was born. When I was 13, they tried again. Machines from the future. Terminators. All my life, my mother told me the storm was coming. Judgment Day. The beginning of a war between man and machines. 3 billion lives would vanish in an instant. And I would lead what was left of the human race to ultimate victory.
Humans living amongst the debris.
It hasn't happened. No bombs fell. Computers didn't take control. We stopped Judgment Day.
John, working as a laborer.
I should feel safe. But I don't. So I live off the grid. No phone. No address. No one and nothing can find me. I've erased all connections to the past.
He lets a beer bottle drop.
But as hard as I try, I can't erase my dreams. My nightmares.
The bottle sinks to a seabed that is covered with thousands of skeletons. Eerie shafts of light coming from above the surface penetrate the dark, gloomy waters. Above the surface is a post-apocalyptic nightmare. The searchlights belong to a huge industrial aircraft that's hovering just above the water, churning it up in its wake. The machine moves on amidst a sudden flash of light. Floating on the surface are thousands and thousands of bodies. The aircraft is one of many whose searchlights are sweeping across the water, where small pockets of fire have broken out. Now, an army of metal humanoid robots is crossing the burning land, shooting everything in their path with laser guns. Their skeletal frames encase complex wiring and circuitry. In place of their eyes, they have two spine-chilling beads of red light. John awakes from the nightmare.
I feel the weight of the future bearing down on me. A future I don't want. So I keep running. As fast as I can. Anywhere. Nowhere.
John's riding his motorbike at night. Braking to avoid a deer, his bike skids out of control and he's sent tumbling. He takes off his crash helmet. Starring Nick Stahl and Claire Danes. John looks up to see the deer trot off, then rolls onto his back, wincing with pain. Also starring Kristanna Loken. It's nighttime, and in a quiet street in Beverly Hills, female mannequins are on display in a shop window. A light breeze disturbs their clothes and wigs, followed by flashes of bright light. Suddenly, one of the mannequins melts like an ice cream, and a dark spherical portal appears from nowhere in the window pane, distorting the world around it. A burning orange light fades to reveal a naked woman crouching in the display. Attractive, with long wavy blonde hair, she stands up and mechanically sweeps her eyes over her surroundings. She steps out onto the sidewalk and sets off down the dark, deserted street. On a corner opposite, a woman is getting into a swanky silver convertible. At first, she's unaware that the strange naked woman is making a beeline towards her.
Oh my God! Are you okay? Do you want me to call 911?
The woman stares at her intensely.
I like this car.
Wait!
Now, the naked woman has taken over the other woman's clothes and car and is charging along the road. Her hair is now neatly pinned back. She reaches for a cell phone. By generating a fax sound, the computer in her head connects to a database for the Los Angeles Unified School District. 8 people's yearbook photos flash up under the heading Priority Targets Identified. Then she hangs up and speeds off. Her eyes remain fixed straight ahead as she weaves in and out of traffic. Without stopping, she jumps a red light at a junction and narrowly avoids colliding with cars crossing her path in both directions. A police squad car does a U-turn and chases after her. She registers its presence in her wing mirror. She pulls up at the roadside. As the cop gets out behind her, she notices a billboard advert showing a model in a lacy pink bra under the heading, What is Sexy? Victoria's Secret. Suddenly, the woman's breasts swell in size. Holding a torch, the cop cautiously makes his way over. His eyes flit to her chest.
Lady, have you any idea how fast you were going? Let me see your license and registration.
I like your gun.
What?
A couple shopping.
This stupid thing's not working.
What's wrong with this thing?
I hate machines.
She answers her cell phone.
Hello?
Kate, it's your father.
Uh-oh. You're blowing me off again.
I'm so sorry, hon. You know how much I wanted to see you this weekend.
But we're having some computer problems.
No, I know. I know. You can't talk about it. It's just... Scott was really looking forward to this.
Oh, Katie. I wish I had more time to get to know him. I really do.
That's okay. You're bound to run into him at the wedding.
Please. I'm still in a state of denial about that.
You're not the only one.
Hey, kiddo.
You know, you don't need me to pass judgment on this guy. You've done the right thing your whole life.
You won't make a mistake. You never do. I'm the luckiest father in the world, you know.
I've never had to be afraid for my daughter.
Listen, I hate this. I gotta run. Come see me. I promise I won't cancel.
We will.
Bye, Dad. I love you.
Love you, too.
Her military father returns to work, and in the store, Kate frowns at a picture of a groom kissing his bride.
Okay, what do we got?
This new computer virus is a tricky bastard. It's infected half of the civilian internet as well as secondary military apps. Payroll, inventory.
Primary defense nets are still clean?
So far, the firewalls are holding up. Sir, the Pentagon has proposed that we use our AI to scan the entire infrastructure, search and destroy for any hint of the virus.
I know, Tony, but that's like going after a fly with a bazooka.
Well, once the connection's made, it should only be a matter of minutes.
During which we put everything from satellites to missile silos under the control of a single computer system.
The most intelligent system ever conceived.
Yeah, I still prefer to keep humans in the loop. I'm not sure Skynet's ready.
Yes, sir.
Tony heads out, leaving General Brewster looking thoughtful. Now, in almost pitch-black woodland, a rattlesnake slithers across the ground. A near full moon is peeping out from behind dark clouds, and there are city lights in the distance. A breeze blows through the undergrowth. Neon blue electrical charges shoot through the night, surrounding a strange globe that's materialized in a clearing. Fires break out all around it. The sphere dissolves, and in its wake leaves a naked man, crouching just like the woman was earlier. Eventually, the circle of flames around him subsides, and he slowly stands up. The Terminator is back. The light from the fires illuminates his rippling torso muscles as he scans his surroundings with a cold, impenetrable scowl, before setting off barefoot across the parched, debris-strewn ground. Now in town, a pickup truck pulls over at the side of a road, and John Connor hops out of the back. The truck pulls away again, leaving him alone in the deserted nighttime street. With his bag slung over one shoulder, he takes a look around. Across the road is an animal hospital that's dimly lit by a few streetlights. He winces as though in pain. Now inside, he breaks the glass of a drugs cabinet with his elbow, then starts rifling through the bottles. He selects one marked veterinary use only, hurriedly opens it up, and starts knocking back the pills a handful at a time. Elsewhere, the Terminator is standing looking at a trucker's stop. Still naked, he moves his bulky frame across the road towards it. He passes by a flashing neon sign for Desert Star Cocktails. At the door, an old guy in a cowboy hat casually looks up from his newspaper.
You're supposed to go around to the back.
The Terminator does a size assessment of him, but it's a mismatch.
Hey, I said you're supposed to go around.
Having shoved the man out of his way, the Terminator steps into the rowdy bar. He sees a poster for Ladies' Night before processing all the women for size. A particularly buxom specimen makes the word inappropriate flash up on his internal display. He moves on, oblivious to their ogling grins. When a male stripper dressed in leather appears on the stage, the Terminator starts sizing him up. His internal display flashes match, and he goes over.
Take off your clothes.
Patience, honey.
The stripper carries on his act, so the Terminator steps on stage.
Whoa, bitch! Wait your turn!
Your clothes.
Talk to the hand.
The Terminator crushes his hand.
Now.
Soon after, the Terminator emerges from the bar dressed in the stripper's cowboy boots and leathers. He reaches into the jacket pocket, pulls out a pair of sunglasses and puts them on. The pink, glitter-trimmed, star-shaped shades don't exactly go with his tough guy clothing. After a moment, he tosses them to the ground and crushes them underfoot. Having broken into a pickup truck, he yanks out the alarm's wiring. Next, he scans his internal clock, synchronizing it with his wristwatch, before finally starting up the truck. He notices a pair of cool shades on the dashboard and puts them on, perfectly finishing off his tough guy look. In a sweeping curve, he reverses out of the parking space at speed and sets off along the road. Now, the blonde woman turns into a drive-through burger joint.
Welcome to Jim's Burgers. Can I take your order?
Jose Barrera?
Yeah, that's me.
She glides forward to the hatch, where a young guy pops his head out of the window. After matching him on her internal display, she shoots him in cold blood. TV news.
Concern over widespread outages in the global digital network have prompted rumors of a new computer supervirus. Wall Street analysts are confident, however.
Shit, my mom's home. Here, hide the beer. Here, take that. Go.
The teenage partygoers disperse, and the host answers the door to the blonde woman.
Elizabeth and William Anderson?
I'm Bill. My sister's upstairs. Is there something wrong?
She shoves him aside, then pumps him with bullets. Kate's woken by a text on her cell phone.
What's going on?
I have to go to the clinic. It's an emergency.
It's 4:30 in the morning.
Well, I'll be back before you get up.
She leans over to give Scott a kiss, then slips out of bed. Now, with a dirty bandage around his leg, John Connor comes to on the floor, surrounded by surgical instruments and bloodied swabs. As he lifts his head groggily, a dog barks from inside its cage. Kate pulls up outside the animal hospital in an ambulance van. Inside, John hears her and struggles to his feet. She unlocks the hospital's front door and lets herself in.
Cool it, guys. It's just me. We've got a sick cat coming in.
She switches on the lights and heads into her surgery. Instantly, she notices an empty pill bottle lying on the floor and crouches to pick it up. Then she turns and sees that the drugs cabinet has been broken into.
Great. Junkies.
Please, don't do that.
John comes out of hiding.
I suppose you're the one who ripped us off last week.
I put the phone down.
He aims a gun.
Sorry. I needed some medicine.
There's an emergency clinic half a mile away.
Can't do that.
She looks at the empty pill bottle she's holding.
How much did you take?
Enough.
Well, this is the stuff we use to chemically neuter dogs. Take a look.
She tosses him the bottle, then grabs the gun. Having shot him, she pushes him into a cage.
You don't have to do that!
Next time, bring a clue, not a paintball gun.
No, this isn't what you think.
Yeah, right.
While she goes off to answer the call, he wipes the fluorescent paint from his hands. Kate unlocks the door for a woman with a cat carrier.
It's Hercules. I think he's got pneumonia. He just started coughing and wouldn't stop.
Betsy, I've got a problem in the back.
A problem? This is an emergency.
It sounds like a hairball.
I know what a hairball sounds like. Where's Dr. Monroe?
It's 5:30 in the morning. I'm sure he's home sleeping. But he'll come in if he has to. Just wait in here with Hercules and I'll be a few minutes, all right?
Kate returns to the room where John's cage is. She looks at him curiously.
Mike Kripke's basement.
What? What does that mean?
She comes around the side of the cage, then, crouching down for a closer look, takes in his disheveled appearance through the bars.
You're John Connor. I'm Kate Brewster.
He shakes his head.
We went to West Hills Junior High together.
He smiles and nods.
Jesus,
What happened to you, John? Middle of 8th grade, you just disappeared. And there was that thing about your foster parents?
Yeah, they were murdered. I didn't do it.
What the hell? Is somebody with you?
When he shakes his head, she goes back out into the corridor to investigate the noise. She sees Betsy lying shot on the floor and flees. The blonde woman walks over to Betsy.
Catherine Brewster?
Slowly, she squats down, then rubs her finger over the blood on Betsy's chest wound before deliberately placing the sample on her tongue. The whole time, her face is chillingly expressionless.
No.
John's desperately trying to get out of the cage, and Kate's hiding. She sits back when she hears the approaching footsteps. Holding her gun, the assassin walks into the surgery and scans the room. Crouching low behind a cabinet, Kate dares to peek out and sees her, then sits back again, trembling. The assassin steps further into the room. Kate's face is creased as she struggles to fight back tears. As the assassin's eyes sweep across the room, her internal display picks out each object in turn and analyzes it. Then, it hones in on the bloody swab John left on the floor, and she bends down to pick it up. She presses the blood onto her tongue, and her internal display shows her analyzing the DNA. The words, "Primary target, John Connor," flash up in red, and she gasps. Just then, Kate makes a run for it. Having dodged the bullets, Kate bolts out of the front door and into her van. She's shaking so much, she drops the keys. Suddenly, the assassin is standing at her window. The assassin punches out the window, rips off the door, then flings Kate across the parking lot. Then she strides over and wedges her high-heeled boot under Kate's chin.
John Connor was here. Where did he go? Tell me! Where did he go?
Suddenly, the Terminator's truck mows her down and crushes her into a fence. Nearby cars and fuel explode into a huge fireball. Scared out of her wits, Kate's lying on her front on the ground, when, up ahead, the Terminator gets out of his truck. Shaking like a leaf, she watches in horror as he walks across the parking lot towards her, carrying a pump-action, heavy-duty firearm.
Catherine Brewster?
He lifts her up onto his shoulder.
What are you doing? Let me down!
He throws her into the back of her van.
Where's John Connor?
If I tell you, will you let me go?
Yes.
He's in the kennel, in a cage. But you said that you'd let me go.
I lied.
Please, you have to let me go!
Meanwhile, John's trying desperately to get out of the cage. Suddenly, a metallic hand and arm punches through a pile of nearby rubble and starts absorbing the liquid metal globules that are sliding towards it. John starts to panic. He finally kicks his way out of the cage before staring in horror at the arm reforming itself. Then he runs off. Gradually, the rippling metal turns to flesh. John emerges in a burning corridor and stops dead in his tracks. Coming through the smoke towards him is the unmistakable silhouette of the Terminator. John blinks as he tries to take in what he's seeing.
John Connor.
It is time.
You here to kill me?
The Terminator steps up close to him.
No. You must live.
He drags John out. The assassin emerges back in her sexy human form from the rubble.
Why are you here? Where are we going?
Keep moving. Get out of here. Now!
John speeds off in the van. The Terminator pumps his female counterpart full of bullets, but they have no effect. She transforms her arm into a futuristic blaster. A single shot sends him flying backwards through walls. His electrical impulses die. She retracts her weapon, and it morphs back into her arm again. On the road, John passes the emergency services speeding towards the hospital. A couple of firefighters enter a destroyed building and find the Terminator leaning against a pile of debris. One feels for a pulse.
No pulse.
See if you can get him down.
I can't. This guy weighs a ton.
The blonde assassin sidles up to a squad car. The tip of her finger morphs into a metallic probe, which she inserts into the car's dashboard. Electrical impulses travel down her finger through a network of wires and spread out across a complex circuit grid. Kate's still locked in her van.
911.
Yes, I'm being kidnapped.
Where are you now?
I don't know where. I'm in my truck. It's a Toyota Tundra. It says Emory Animal Hospital on the side. I'm locked inside the back. Hello? Hello?
Her cell phone has network failure. In high heels and a tight red jacket, the sexy blonde assassin saunters over to an enormous truck that has a crane arm attached and climbs up into the cab. Her internal display shows her taking remote control of the emergency vehicles at the scene. A police car and fire truck pull out with no one at the driver's seat. When a cop goes to radio for help, he finds himself dragged away in the squad car before being ejected at the roadside. With a graceful tilt of her head, the assassin sends the vehicle speeding off along the main road. To the fireman's surprise, the Terminator's eyes spring open and he gets up. Meanwhile, the assassin turns the enormous crane lorry out of its parking space, plowing through anything that stands in her way. With his gun held up in one hand, the Terminator watches the lorry turn onto the road. Then, he sees a police motorcyclist approach.
Get off!
Having pushed the driver off, he then gives chase on the motorbike. Meanwhile, speeding along a deserted street, John hears someone banging on the hatch behind him.
Let me out!
What are you doing here?
You tell me! You got me into this! Stop the car!
Can't! Not yet!
You bastard! Stop the car!
Shut up!
He closes the hatch, then plows straight into a car in front of him. The empty emergency vehicles are speeding through the city.
God damn it! Look what you did to my car! This is my company car, asshole! Get your ass out here! Get your ass out of the car! What are you doing? You don't have insurance, I'm gonna rip your balls off!
Hey, listen, I don't want any problems, okay? It was an accident.
Shut up! Help!
You got him back there! What's going on in there? Who's back there?
Calm down!
Shut up!
I'm being kidnapped! Call the police!
Well, I'll be goddamned. A cop when you need one.
As the car driver tries to wave down the police, John finally gets the van started.
Get back here,
the man points the vehicles in John's direction. Seconds later, the huge lorry charges around a corner, then plows into the precious company car. Meanwhile, the remote-controlled cop cars are hot on John's tail.
That's the cops! You have to pull over!
Yeah, first chance I get!
He sees there's no one behind the wheel. The squad cars start bashing into him, making the van spin out of control. Just as he manages to regain control, the huge crane lorry appears on the scene. Target acquired flashes up on the assassin's internal display. The Terminator is also catching up with them on the motorbike. With a slight tilt of her head, the assassin makes two squad cars in front ram into either side of John's van. Her arm morphs into the futuristic weapon, but John brakes hard and she blasts a lorry of gas canisters into Kingdom Come instead. The Terminator swerves to avoid the carnage. Other vehicles collide with the wreckage and are flipped across the road.
Hold on!
John swerves and starts driving along the sidewalk. The assassin brings the huge crane arm into play, turning it 90 degrees so that it plows along the roadside, obliterating everything in its path. Telegraph poles, the fronts of buildings and parked cars are all utterly destroyed. The Terminator manages to weave between the debris littering the street. Just behind the van, the crane is flipping cars parked at the roadside as if they were dominoes. The Terminator jumps over a fallen lamppost, then follows the other vehicles back onto the road. Pumping his shotgun, he blows a hole in one of the truck's tires before its swinging crane arm smacks him off his bike. Hanging onto the arm, he braces himself as the assassin slams it into the ambulance, knocking it off its wheels. Ahead of them, one of the police cars rams into the back of the van.
Stop it!
With Kate bouncing around inside, John veers onto a residential sidewalk, plowing through privet fences, a parked car, garden furniture, and an inflatable toy. Meanwhile, the assassin is going all out to shake off the Terminator, who's still dangling from the hook at the end of the crane. Driving alongside a glass-fronted building, she sends him smashing through a window and watches him demolish the offices inside, clattering into desks and masonry. The front of the building collapses, but the Terminator still manages to hold on. Scraping along the ground, he hits some trash cans. Then, spotting an oncoming fire engine, the assassin smiles slightly as it drives straight into the Terminator and leaves a gently swaying hook. Now, he's hanging from the front of the fire engine.
I'll drive.
As he grabs the steering wheel and spins the truck around, terrified firemen leap from the moving vehicle.
Get out.
Two or more are sent rolling onto the road as the Terminator puts the truck in gear. John's driving past a wall when the crane truck comes crashing through it and collides with a police car, terminating it from the chase. With menacing determination, the assassin continues to drive the truck as if it were a weapon. Behind it, the Terminator has caught up in the fire engine. Pulling alongside her, he repeatedly rams into the side of the truck. He jumps from the cabin an instant before she fires her weapon at the fire engine and it explodes into flames.
Excuse me.
The Terminator appears at the driver's door and throws her onto the road, but she sticks to the truck like a magnet. Spotting a manhole, he drops the crane hook through the cover and the attached cable begins to unwind. As the assassin climbs towards the cabin, the Terminator kicks out the window, then leaps onto the roof of the van. Now back in the driver's seat, the assassin realizes what's happening a split second before the cable becomes fully extended and pulls the truck to an enforced stop, its momentum sending its back end high into the air and then crashing to the ground.
Move over.
While the Terminator takes control of the van, the assassin emerges from the wreckage of the truck, completely intact. Frowning, she watches the van speed off into the distance. Inside the van, John is getting his breath back when the Terminator grabs him by his jacket, then roughly manhandles his face and examines his eyes.
No sign of brain trauma.
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Do you even remember me? Sarah Connor? Blowing up Cyberdyne? Hasta la vista, baby? Ring any bells?
That was a different T-101.
What, do you guys come off an assembly line or something?
Exactly.
Oh, man, I'm gonna have to teach you everything all over again.
Catherine Brewster, have you sustained injury?
Drop dead, you asshole!
I'm unable to comply.
They turn a corner onto a freeway.
Where are you taking me?
To a safe location.
It's later, and they're driving along a desert highway. Kate's kicking is troubling John.
Get off at the next exit, let her out.
Negative. Catherine Brewster must be protected.
I thought I was the one they were after.
You could not be located, so a TX was sent back through time to eliminate your lieutenants.
So, she's gonna be in the resistance? No, you shouldn't even exist. I mean, we took out Cyberdyne over 10 years ago, but we stopped Judgment Day.
You only postponed it. Judgment Day is inevitable.
As John takes in this information, smoke appears emanating from the Terminator's stomach.
I require a cutting tool.
John hands him a switchblade.
Here, take the wheel.
He reveals a smoking wound.
What are you doing?
I'm powered by 2 hydrogen fuel cells. My primary cell was damaged by a plasma attack. TX is designed for extreme combat, driven by a plasma reactor and equipped with onboard weapons. Its arsenal includes nanotechnological transjectors.
Meaning?
It can control other machines.
He rips off flesh.
Its body chassis is heavily armored and hardened to withstand external attack.
You'll find a way to destroy her.
Unlikely. I'm an obsolete design. TX is faster, more powerful, and more intelligent. It's a far more effective killing machine.
Oh, great. That's great.
My presence in this timeline has been anticipated. TX is designed to terminate other cybernetic organisms.
So, she's an anti-Terminator... Terminator? You've got to be shitting me.
No. I am not shitting you.
Having removed a damaged part of his internal workings, the Terminator tosses it out of the van. As it hits the ground, the metal component glows orange, then explodes, sending out a huge shockwave which shakes the van.
When ruptured, the fuel cells become unstable. Relax. Relax!
Later, at a gas station, John's filling up, whilst inside the shop, the attendant's finding standby messages on every TV channel.
Man, this is whack. It's been like this for hours, every goddamn station.
The Terminator is throwing snacks into a shopping basket. He stops when a sunglasses stand catches his attention. Outside, John is waiting by the van.
Hey! Hey! Are you gonna pay for that?
Now wearing shades, the Terminator shows a palm to the attendant.
Talk to the hand.
The stunned attendant stands frozen. Returning to the van, the Terminator opens the back door, catching Kate over his shoulder as she tries to jump past him.
Help! Help me! Help!
John notices the attendant making a call.
I think we better go.
He climbs into the back with Kate. As they pull away, the attendant clocks the license plate, Pet Dog 2. Back on the desert highway, John gives a shaken Kate a reassuring look, then offers her a snack.
Jerky?
You're kidnapping me.
Okay.
God, you were always a delinquent.
And look at you now, sitting there like the bad boy thing still works. What are you, some kind of gang member?
How do you live with yourself? What?
He knocks on the wall behind the driver's seat, then the hatch opens.
Tell her who I am.
John Connor is leader of the worldwide resistance and last best hope of humankind.
Right. And him?
He's a robot from the future. He's living tissue over metal skeletons sent back in time to protect
me. Go to hell.
He doesn't mean you any harm.
I have a fiancé. He's gonna be looking for me. What is it that you want?
Just imagine if you knew you were gonna do something important with your life, something amazing. I mean, maybe the most important thing anyone has ever done. But there's a catch. Something terrible has to happen. You couldn't live with yourself if you didn't try to stop it, but...
What are you talking about?
It's just the life you know. All the stuff that you take for granted. It's not gonna last.
She looks away obstinately.
My Kripke. Back there, why did you say Kripke's basement? Because that's that Mike Kripke's house. That's where the kids used to go make out, right?
She looks away again.
So you and me. Wait, did we... Holy shit, we did. We made out in Kripke's basement. I cannot believe you remember that. Wow, I must have made some kind of impression.
Give me a break. I only remembered because the next day you were in the news.
He realizes something.
Wait a second. You and me hooked up the day before I first met him. And now, again, 10 years later.
Ooh. We were supposed to meet. Coincidence.
John's not convinced. They continue on at high speed. In a darkened bedroom, photographs of Kate with Scott and her father are on display next to the bed where Scott is lying asleep. He wakes up when a hand reaches in to pick up the picture of Kate and her father.
Mom, did you just get in?
The TX is sitting at the end of the bed. Her upper body rotates 180 degrees to face him, then blood spatters onto the photo of him and Kate. Scott opens the door to two men in suits.
Hi, I'm Detective Edwards, LAPD. This is Detective Bell. We're looking for Catherine Brewster. Is she here?
No.
You're, her fiancé, Scott Mason?
Yes.
A few hours ago, there was an incident at the veterinary hospital where she works. We're concerned that something may have happened to her.
Where is she?
Well, we got a report from a gas station attendant out toward Victorville about a possible kidnapping that might be related.
I'll help you find her.
He stares at them with emotionless detachment. Meanwhile, the van crashes through the closed metal gates of a cemetery. Then the Terminator opens the back doors.
Come with me.
John and Kate climb out.
Go.
He leads them up a set of steps towards a stone mausoleum. A marble statue of an angel looks down on them as they enter the candle-lit chamber. The Terminator leads them to a wall divided into square segments, all of which are labelled with metal plaques. John reads the name Sarah Connor.
Your mother?
John's shocked.
I never even knew where she was buried. Okay, I hit the road the day she died.
The plaque reads, "No fate but what we make."
Why did you bring me here?
The Terminator pushes them to one side, then punches through the marble slab. Pulling a wooden casket onto the floor, he opens the lid, revealing an assortment of weapons.
Sarah Connor was cremated in Mexico. Her friends scattered her ashes in the sea. They stored these weapons in accordance with her will.
What happened to her?
Leukemia.
I'm sorry.
We were living in Baja when she was diagnosed. They only gave her 6 months. But she fought for 3 years. Long enough to make sure.
Make sure?
The world didn't end. Every day after this one is a gift. She told me, "We made it, we're free." Never really believed that. I guess she didn't either. You know, you were about the closest thing to a father I ever had. How pathetic is that?
Out of my way!
Kate points a handgun at the Terminator.
My mission is to protect you.
That's enough. Move or I'll do it. I swear I will. I'll shoot you.
Go ahead, see what happens.
The Terminator snatches the gun in a lightning movement, but it goes off while aimed at his face. As Kate looks on in disbelief, he coolly begins to chew, then spits the bullet onto the floor.
Don't do that.
Oh my God.
They turn to see tear gas landing inside the chamber. Kate makes a run for it and is grabbed by an armed policeman dressed in black as she makes it outside. More armed police take cover behind the many squad cars lined up along the cemetery road.
Just leave me here. I'm not the one you want. You're wasting your time.
Incorrect. John Connor leads the resistance to victory.
How? Why? Why me?
You are John Connor.
Christ, my mom fed me that bullshit since the cradle. Look at me, I'm no leader, I never was, I'm never gonna...
Grabbing him by the throat, the Terminator lifts him off his feet.
Go!
You're right. You're not the one I want. I'm wasting my time.
Fuck you! You fucking machine!
Better.
He drops him and picks up a gun.
You were just digging with me!
Anger is more useful than despair.
What?
Basic psychology is among my subroutines.
On the road with Scott and Bell, Edwards is on the phone.
Perp still hold up? Gotcha. Good news. Your fiance's okay.
Where is she?
Greenlawn Cemetery up off the 5 freeway.
It's right by the desert. But they're gonna bring her back to the...
Oh my God! Oh my dear Jesus God!
Having smashed Bell's head against the window and punched his entire arm through Edward's chest, Scott calmly uses his blood-soaked hand to take hold of the steering wheel and spin the car around. Meanwhile, Kate is sitting on the back step of an ambulance, being given oxygen by a paramedic.
You're safe now. They can't hurt you. Kate, my name is Dr. Silberman. I'm a post-trauma counselor for the Sheriff's Department. How are you feeling?
He's not human. He's really not human.
I know what it's like to be in a hostage situation. I've been there myself. The fear, the adrenaline. You find yourself imagining things. Impossible things. Crazy things. Insane things. Take years to get over it.
Go, go, go!
Move it!
As police blood through the mausoleum entrance, the Terminator emerges through a side window carrying the casket.
That's your weapon!
He's carrying the casket on his shoulder.
And the coffin! Take him down! Take him down!
With bullets putting holes in the coffin and bouncing off him, the Terminator simply carries on walking. Hearing the commotion, Dr. Silberman goes to investigate and watches the Terminator slowly turn towards the police and begin firing his huge machine gun. Horrified, Silberman runs off down the road. The police jump for cover while the Terminator makes Swiss cheese of their vehicles. A police car explodes into the air. Assessing the damage, zero human casualties flashes up on his internal display. Satisfied, he sets off on foot. He throws the casket through the back window of a hearse, then John kicks open the lid from inside.
We must reacquire Catherine Brewster.
Why? What makes her so goddamn important?
Through her, you make contact with remnants of the U.S. military and learn how to fight Skynet, forming the core of the resistance. Later, your children will become important.
Whoa, what?
She's your wife.
Having hot-wired the hearse, the Terminator hits the gas. Meanwhile, Kate is running through the cemetery when she sees an approaching car stop on the road up ahead. The back door opens and Scott gets out with a warm smile. Beaming, Kate runs towards him but stops as she becomes suspicious. Strolling towards her, Scott's clothes and skin melt away, revealing the metallic skeleton of the TX. While Kate looks on stupefied, the hearse pulls up between her and the now reformed TX. The Terminator fires a rocket from a launcher at the deadly assassin. The explosion sends her flying.
Get in! You want to live? Come on!
Kate jumps into the passenger seat and they speed away. With a gaping metallic wound healing itself on her shoulder, the TX gives chase on foot. Bursting through the gates, the hearse leaves the cemetery.
It was Scott! How could it be Scott?
Your fiancé?
The TX is polymimetic, able to take the form of anything it touches. Your fiancé is dead.
The TX is sprinting through the woods in an attempt to head them off. Eyeing her prey, She takes a giant leap and lands on top of the hearse, putting a huge dent in the roof. Sparks appear as the TX's hand cuts through the roof in the form of a saw. Jerking the steering wheel, the Terminator sways the vehicle from side to side, clipping a passing car as he does so. In the back, John is reaching for a machine gun in the casket when the TX manages to prise open a section of the roof. As she looms over him, he lets rip, covering her with tiny metallic holes. The Terminator drives underneath the trailer of an oncoming truck, ripping off the roof of the hearse and knocking the TX to the ground. Having left the road, the now topless vehicle is tearing down a wooded hill. They make it back onto a road, then John and Kate sit up.
We need a new vehicle.
They're lost for words. Meanwhile, sitting up straight in the middle of the road, the TX examines her bionic arm. Her internal display reads primary weapon damaged, then alternate weapon selected. The driver of the truck she was slammed into watches flames shoot from her arm and engulf the leaves of a tree. He runs away. Satisfied, the Resolute killing machine sets off once more. Now, the hearse looks like it's seen better days as it pulls off the main road and approaches a parked motorhome. Unfazed by his door falling off, the Terminator gets out. He forces open the door of the motorhome and peers inside to find it empty. Meanwhile, back at the car, John notices Kate sitting with her head bowed, looking upset.
Hey, come on. We gotta keep moving.
She has tears in her eyes.
She killed Scott because of me.
Look, I know this won't help. But sometimes things happen that we just can't change. It's not your fault.
He leaves her alone. The Terminator's examining a weapon.
Sure about this? About her and me, I mean.
Your confusion is not rational. She's a healthy female of breeding age.
I think there's a little more to it than that.
My database does not encompass the dynamics of human peer bonding.
He gets back to unloading the car.
So this Terminatrix, how many others does she have on her hit list?
22. Anderson Elizabeth, Anderson William, Barrera Jose, Rooster Robert.
My father?
Having failed to acquire its primary target, TX will resume its default program.
She's gonna kill my father, too?
There's a high probability.
No.
Who is he? What does he do?
He's in the Air Force. It's weapon design, secret stuff. I don't know exactly.
General Robert Brewster is program director of CRS, Cyber Research Systems, Autonomous Weapons Division.
Skynet. You're talking about Skynet, aren't you?
Skynet is one of the digital defense systems developed under Brewster's supervision.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Of course. It all makes sense now. If you hadn't come back when I was a kid, if everything hadn't changed, she and I, we would have got together then. See, I would have met her father a long time ago. Don't you see?
I don't understand. What?
Your father. This is all about your father. He's the key. He always was. Your father is the one who can shut Skynet down. He's the only one who ever could. We have to get to him before the TX does.
Negative. I cannot jeopardize my mission.
This is your mission, to save people.
My mission is to ensure the survival of John Connor and Catherine Brewster.
I'm giving you an order.
I'm not programmed to follow your orders. After the nuclear war, you both will leave.
Nuclear war?
It doesn't have to be a war. We can stop it.
There's insufficient time. The first launch sequences will be initiated at 6:18 p.m.
What, today?
Affirmative.
John, what is he saying?
Judgment Day. The end of the world. It's today, 3 hours from now.
2 hours and 53 minutes. We must continue south into Mexico to escape the primary blast zones.
Oh, we have to get to her dad.
The Mojave area will sustain significant nuclear fallout. You will not survive.
You mean we go run and hide somewhere in a hole while the bombs fall?
It is your destiny.
John puts a gun to his own head.
Fuck my destiny.
John.
The Terminator steps towards him, then reconsiders.
You cannot self-terminate.
No, you can't. I can do whatever the hell I want. I'm a human being. I'm not some goddamn robot.
Cybernetic organism.
Whatever. Either we go to her father, we get him to shut Skynet down, stop this shit from ever happening, or so much for the great John Connor. Because your future, my destiny, I don't want any part of it. I never did.
Based on your pupil dilation, skin temperature, and motor functions, I calculate an 83% probability that you will not pull that trigger.
Please, please do it. He says you have to save my father.
We can reach CIS in approximately 1 hour, depending on traffic conditions.
Kate looks on anxiously. Then the Terminator strides back to the trailer, and John slowly lowers the gun from his head. Now, the motorhome is on the move and hurtling along the straight desert road. At the table in the back, John is wiring up explosives, while in the front passenger seat, Kate is using the vehicle's phone.
I can't get a line. The whole cell network's down.
Skynet is assuming control over global communications in preparation for its attack.
So if this war is between people and machines, why are you on our side?
The Resistance captured me and reprogrammed my CPU. I was originally designed for assassination missions.
So you don't really care if this mission succeeds or not? If we get killed, does that mean anything to you?
If you were to die, I will become useless. There will be no reason for me to exist.
Kate looks perplexed.
Thank you for doing this.
Your gratitude is not required. I'm programmed to follow your commands.
Her commands?
It was Catherine Brewster who had me reactivated and sent through the time displacement field.
What exactly am I in this future of yours?
You're John Connor's spouse and second in command.
No.
What?
You're a mess.
Yeah, you're not exactly my type either. So why didn't I send you back?
I'm not authorized to answer your question.
Why didn't he send you back?
He was dead.
Oh. Well, that sucks.
Humans inevitably die.
Yeah, I know. So how does it... No. Maybe I don't want to know.
Well, how does he die?
John Connor was terminated on July 4th, 2032. I was selected for the emotional attachment he felt towards my model number due to his boyhood experiences. This aided in my infiltration.
What? What are you saying?
I killed you.
With the Terminator at the wheel, the motorhome maintains its dead straight course along the desert road towards pale, distant mountains. Brewster to his staff.
This has to be a mistake.
is 1,100 hours, all primary military systems were secure.
They were. Only the civilian sector was affected. Internet, air traffic, power plants, that sort of thing. But then a few minutes ago, we got word that guidance computers at Vandenberg crashed.
We thought it was a communications error, but now it looks like the virus.
Early warning and Alaska's down.
What?
Signals from half our satellites are scrambled beyond recognition.
What about the missile silos, the subs?
We've lost contact.
Dear God, you're saying this country is completely open to attack.
Theoretically, we could be under attack already.
Who's doing this? A foreign power or some computer hacker in his garage?
We can't trace the virus. We can't pin it down.
It's like we've ever seen before. It keeps growing and changing, like it has a mind of its own.
This can't be happening.
Sir, Pentagon's on the secure line. It's the chairman.
Brewster looks grim.
All right.
He marches away from where an aerial hunter-killer robotic aircraft is being tested by technicians. On the road, John and Kate are sitting at the table with the explosives between them.
Look, none of this is gonna happen. Okay, we get to your dad, we get him to pull the plug on Skynet, the bombs won't fall. You won't have to kill me someday. It'll never even exist. You and I, we can just go our separate ways.
Kate searches for the right words.
You know, Mike Kripke's basement. That was the first time I ever kissed a guy.
Really?
She nods and they both smile.
Your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
The smile is wiped from Kate's face. At Cyber Research Systems, a pair of slender female legs walk along the black polished corridor floor amidst a crowd of technicians and other personnel. It's the TX, dressed in a uniform comprising a dark skirt and light blue short-sleeved blouse. She stops and looks about.
Brewster.
We're hoping to hell here you've got some kind of solution for us.
I know what you're looking for, sir, but Skynet is not ready for a system-wide connection.
That's not what your civilian counterparts over there just told me. They say we can stop this damn virus. Now, I understand there's a certain amount of performance anxiety over there, but your boys are saying that if we plug Skynet into all of our systems, it'll squash this thing like a bug and give me back control of my military.
Mr. Chairman, I need to make myself very clear. If we uplink now, Skynet will be in control of your military.
But you'll be in control of Skynet, right?
That is correct, sir.
Then do it. And Brewster, this thing works. You get all the funding you ever need.
Yes, sir.
Brewster looks concerned. Meanwhile, sturdy double doors open slowly and the TX walks into a dark storage room. She parts a clear plastic curtain and approaches two rows of machines concealed under plastic sheets. Stepping over to one of the ominous shapes, she rips a cord, unraveling the clear plastic sheet covering the machine. The sleek, dull metallic form bears the code of a T1 on a body cowling, loosely resembling a tank. The long metallic probe extends from the tip of her right index finger and she touches it against the robotic head that tops the machine. Instantly it powers up and red, yellow and blue lights come on. At the same time, the US map Brewster is studying erupts in red dots and yellow triangles together with the word online. He clenches his fist close to his mouth as he frowns at the screen. An execute yes or no command flashes up on a monitor.
Sir? Shall I?
No. It's my job now.
He steps over to the man who's sitting before a bank of flat screens displaying world maps. Reaching out hesitantly for the man's computer keyboard, Brewster presses the Y button.
Skynet defense system.
We're in.
Now activated.
Past the firewalls, local defense nets, Minutemen, and subs. Skynet fully operational, processing at 60 teraflops a second.
Sir, it should take less than a minute to find the virus and kill it.
All access inquiries to your supervisor.
Let's pray to God this works.
Skynet defense system now activated.
Workstations go black.
Power failure?
No. I don't know what it is.
The screens come back on, but the map displays are distorted. As they scroll and flicker, Brewster glares at them in alarm.
Tony, what the hell is going on?
Daddy!
Kate, what are you doing here?
Kate's body shudders from the Terminator's gunfire and falls backwards.
Daddy! Get away from it!
The TX returns to her own form.
Watch out!
The TX shoots Brewster, then aims at Kate, but the Terminator fires blasts from a grenade launcher that blow temporary holes in her liquid metal structure until she's finally blown through a large vent in the wall. Kate rushes to her stricken father.
Daddy! Daddy, don't move!
The Terminator peers down a shaft behind the vent.
She'll be back.
We have to shut down Skynet. Where's the system core? Somewhere in this building?
Skynet, the virus has infected Skynet.
Skynet is the virus. It's the reason everything's falling apart.
Skynet has become self-aware. In 1 hour, it will initiate a massive nuclear attack on its enemy.
What enemy?
Us! Humans!
The activated T-1 crashes through a plate glass panel, its twin machine guns mowing down the facility's staff.
Oh, God. It's the machines are starting to take over.
My office... On this floor, we have to get there. Put the access code through my safe.
A woman runs for an elevator, only to find another T1 inside. As the robots decimate the offices and personnel, the TX's purple trouser legs pick their way calmly through the mayhem. The Terminator leads John, Kate, and her father through a corridor and stops them at a corner. A T1 is trundling in their direction around the bend. Its dull aluminium sheen reflects the diffuse lighting from the ceiling. It stops and scans the empty corridor where the humans were seconds ago, noting but disregarding a missing ceiling panel. Another T1 is a few feet away. The Terminator crashes through the ceiling behind the first machine, snaps its head loose, wrenches free one of its shoulder-mounted machine guns, then lets rip on the other T1. With the second machine reduced to bullet-ridden debris, the Terminator drops the T1 gun, then leads the others, carrying the bag of explosives, into Brewster's office. Once inside, he rips a safe off its hinges with ease. John searches the contents of the safe.
Why are they killing everyone?
To destroy any possible threat to Skynet.
Which ones are the codes?
Red envelope. You have to get to Crystal Peak.
What? What is he saying?
Crystal Peak. It is a hardened facility in the Sierra Nevada mountains, 52 miles northeast, bearing 0.5 degrees.
That's the system core?
Strong chance. You'll need a plane. The particle accelerator leads to the runway. Take care of my daughter.
Daddy.
Opened Pandora's box.
Daddy.
Get down!
The Terminator shoots at an airborne hunter-killer as it fires a missile which flies through the office window and explodes in the room. Kate looks at her father.
No! No! No!
There's nothing you can do. Come on.
We must go. It is not safe here.
Kate, we have to go. Kate! He wanted you to come with me. He wanted us to shut Skynet down. Come on.
The Terminator looks grimly out of the window, then leads the way out of the office, holding his machine gun out in front of him. The TX stops him in his tracks.
Run!
As Kate and John flee with the bag of explosives, the Terminator's gun is empty. He punches his fist through a glass panel and pulls out a gas canister, then swings it repeatedly at the TX. The blows have no effect on her. She tilts her head, giving him an inquiring look, then blocks his next blow, puncturing the gas tank with her fist, then kicking the Terminator several feet down the corridor. He gets up and slams her into a wall, then before she can get to her feet, he throws her onto her back and stamps on her face, grinding it beneath his boot sole. She kicks him backwards into a toilet partition, and he pulls a urinal off the wall and smashes it over the TX, but to no effect. Now the Terminator swings the TX into the walls on either side of the restroom and smashes her onto the floor. But she gets up and shoves him, sending him rocketing backwards through the toilet cubicles. She strides towards the door, glancing at herself in the mirror as the Terminator returns and grabs her. He smashes her into a toilet bowl, then plows her through a row of cubicles. In retaliation, she thrusts his head into the wall, embedding his shades into the marble. After having her head bashed through a wall, she thrusts her hand between his legs, then holding him by his crotch and his jacket collar, thunders through several walls using him as a battering ram.
Let's go.
John and Kate run on past a T1 surveying the debris and bodies in a wasted office. The TX crashes through a ceiling wrapped in the Terminator's arms. She jerks her head backwards, headbutting him in the face. Then, with the Terminator behind her, she angles her legs backwards, wrapping them around his waist, and reforms her liquid metal body to face him. Her right hand transforms into a powerful flamethrower, which blasts directly into the Terminator's face. He holds a severed power cable against her, and the shock sends them flying apart. The TX gets up, strides over to his prone body, and looks down at him. Stats flicker in his red-tinted vision before the TX stamps on his face, snapping his neck. His head, now virtually severed, dangles over a low edge, connected to his body by just a few wires and linkages. The probe extends once more from the TX's right index finger, and she sets to work with a sinister smile. John and Kate see the massive particle accelerator through a large window.
That's it! We can follow it out to the runway! Come on!
As they head off along a sparking corridor, the doors at the far end open, and a hunter-killer hoves into view. A multitude of lethal-looking weapons unfolds, and it fires two missiles at John and Kate, who hit the deck immediately. The hunter-killer zooms overhead, then reaching the far end of the corridor, stops and turns around, the small swiveling jet engines on its wings and tail keeping it airborne. An abandoned machine gun lies on the floor inches from Kate's face. As the hunter-killer prepares for its second strike, she grabs the weapon, stands up, and blasts away at the machine. Flying towards them, it explodes into pieces. John and Kate both look shocked. Kate slowly becomes aware that John is looking at her.
What?
Nothing. You remind me of my mother.
John gets to his feet, and together they burst into a control room. Everything here looks normal and eerily untouched by the violence elsewhere. Kate sees the TX on a bank of CCTV monitors.
Oh, God. She's coming.
John flicks switches.
What are you doing?
Powering up.
He pushes a lever forward.
Come on.
He opens a control room door leading out onto a gantry and a flight of steps. As they rush through a cavernous space towards the particle accelerator, the TX enters the control room and glares at them. John and Kate run through the accelerator, a curved narrow passageway filled with conduits, equipment, and a central pipeline. The TX chases after them. As colored bar charts on a monitor in the control room show the accelerator powering up, the TX's right hand transforms into the flamethrower. Plumes of bright yellow flame billow forward just behind Kate. The red, green, yellow and blue bar charts reach their maximum height and danger magnetic field active flashes up. The TX's flamethrower falters and sparks. Then John's gun leaps against the central pipe and sticks there. Suddenly, the TX's entire body is attracted to the curved pipe. She struggles to free herself, but can't.
It's working.
The TX's face begins to melt.
Just die, you bitch!
Come on!
The TX's whole body surface trickles away from her internal endoskeleton like melting chocolate, revealing gleaming metal underneath. Kate and John duck into an accessway and start climbing up a ladder. Kate opens a square hatch at the top, then she and John pass through a dark area filled with crisscrossing pipes. Outside, they emerge into an open space filled with burning debris. The Terminator's black-gloved hand reaches up for a curved rail and pulls himself up into a sitting position. With his head dangling upside down against his back, he reaches behind him and takes it in both hands, lifting it back onto his shoulders. He twists his head from side to side to lock it in place. Portions of flesh have been burnt away, revealing patches of silvery metal. Meanwhile, the TX is now a mercury chrome colour. Her body shape continues to degrade as more liquid metal is drawn away by the magnetic field. Then, a rotary saw springs from her wrist and cuts into the pipe.
There's my father's plane! I trained on it!
In an open hangar, John and Kate run up to a small white plane. He removes the chocks as Kate climbs in, then a noise makes him turn round.
Yes. He made it!
Get away from me! Please! Now!
Let's go, John!
John climbs in as the Terminator limps towards them.
The mast is on!
Come on!
Bottle set!
Come on, let's go!
The Terminator opens the door and pulls John out, throwing him to the ground.
Oh, please! He can't do this!
I have no choice. The DX has corrupted my system.
You can't kill a human being. You said so yourself.
Let him go!
Why? You're fighting it right now.
My CPU is intact, but I cannot control my other functions.
You don't have to do this. You don't want to do this!
Desire is irrelevant. I am a machine.
He throws John onto the hood of a nearby truck, shattering the windshield, and lumbers towards him. He extends a powerful arm and grabs John by the throat.
What is your mission?
Ensure the survival of John Connor and Catherine Brewster.
He slowly raises his left fist.
You are about to fail that mission!
The Terminator thumps the hood.
I cannot.
You know what you have to do. You know my destiny.
Abort and Terminate flash before the Terminator's eyes.
I have to live!
Invalid Command flashes up, and he throws John clear of the truck and pounds its hood repeatedly with both fists. The hood caves in, and the fender and the radiator grille fall off. Then the suspension gives, and the front of the truck sags. The Terminator stands with a shocked expression on his face. John watches, then looks over at Kate. She pushes herself up off the ground, and John goes over to her.
Are you okay?
What happened?
Couldn't do it. He shut himself down. Can you fly?
She nods, gets up, and limps to the plane's open door. She climbs in, and John gets in behind her. The Terminator stands motionless, wearing an unblinking look of shock. The plane lifts off and heads for the mountains under a blue sky. It banks away, heading left, high over rugged brown desert.
Okay, 015 degrees, 52 miles. Our max airspeed's about 160.
Okay, we got 32 minutes. It's just you and me now.
John, what if we can't stop it?
There's enough C4 here to take out 10 supercomputers. We're gonna make it, Kate. The future is up to us.
She looks at him fearfully. Then he points out at the windshield.
It's gotta be it.
They bank sharply to the left again and level off, heading for a mountain road. Restart appears in red on a black background. The image of the crushed truck flickers back, tinted red, as stats flash up in the Terminator's vision. His half-charred face remains staring ahead blankly as he powers up. The plane flies over a wire fence topped with coils of barbed wire and bearing a biohazard sign. It taxis on a runway outside an entrance built under a concrete arch set into the base of a mountainside. John and Kate climb out and run in through a door under the concrete arch. John has drawn a gun. They find themselves amongst dust-covered military vehicles in a dim, cavernous garage.
Skynet. There may be more of them.
John raises his gun and sprays bullets into the darkness. He loads a new clip into his weapon's hand grip.
Come on.
They press on past a truck, equipment, and crates. Then they reach a large expanse of dark metal at the end.
I think this is some kind of blast door.
Kate finds the access control.
There is no way we can blow through this thing.
John, look.
She opens the controls.
And now what?
It's a code prompt.
John hurriedly gets out Brewster's red envelope.
Right. Type in Dakota 775.
Power on appears on a screen.
Red 176.
As they frantically search the pages, the front entrance splinters suddenly and a helicopter smashes through it. It crashes onto the ground and skids into something that stops it abruptly. A fist punches its left-hand door off its hinges and the TX steps out, looking as good as new.
Come on, we gotta get this thing open. Here, Avalon 412. Put it in.
Authorized appears on the screen and the blast door begins to lift slowly. John picks up his gun and fires at the TX, who is striding slowly towards them. The bullets gouge out silvery divots on the TX but don't stop her. She turns as another larger helicopter comes crashing through the entrance, triggering explosions everywhere. It runs over her as it skids forwards across the ground and finally comes to a halt amidst a giant gust of flames. The Terminator steps out from the inferno. The left half of his face has gone, exposing his chrome skull and the red glowing eye in its mechanical socket. His leather jacket hangs from his shoulders in tatters.
I'm back.
Abort, emergency closure flashes on the access control screen. As the blast door starts to lower, the Terminator runs towards it and dives under the gap, stopping it with his hands. A sleek, chromed female figure revives in the helicopter wreckage and struggles to free herself. The Terminator trembles as he struggles against the power of the blast door. John pushes the bag of explosives to Kate, while the TX frees her upper body, breaking apart and leaving her lower half in the wreckage.
Thank you.
We'll meet again.
go!
Come on!
Kate grabs John's hand, but the TX grabs his ankle. The Terminator grabs the TX's wrists with his own exposed mechanical hand and shocks the TX, causing her to let go. Kate helps John hobble away. The TX shakes the Terminator off and starts to crawl towards the fleeing humans, her mechanical eyes glowing a fierce blue. The Terminator grabs the wires and cables trailing from her severed upper torso and ejects a small device from his metal chest. She struggles furiously, her chrome face morphing into a human expression of rage. The Terminator drags her close and rams the device into her mouth.
You are terminated.
A colossal explosion bursts out of the mountain entrance, churning up massive clouds of dust. In a corridor deep within the base, John shields Kate from falling debris. Slowly, the tremors cease, and the swirling dust clouds begin to clear. They stand staring back at the steps they'd just come down. Now, with the bag in one hand, John unlocks and opens a heavy metal door. He and Kate go through.
The elevator!
They hurry into it, and John slams the gate and its door closed.
I'm gonna set the detonator for 5 minutes. That should give us enough time to make it back up.
Kate looks at him with a terrified expression. The elevator continues on its way down the dimly lit shaft. They emerge in a dim, grimy space with an aged world map on a wall and head down a staircase in front of them. Looming over the staircase is the US government's circular Great Seal. They arrive at a deserted, cavernous operations room.
What is this place?
They hurry down broad concrete steps to the empty floor space below. While parts of the facility look very neglected, banks of lights on newer equipment still glow softly. John limps past outdated desks with blank monitors and glowing lights, while Kate looks around her in awe. Aghast, she notices a TV camera and a government podium set against a blue curtain bearing a government crest. A Stars and Stripes hangs limply at one side. John walks past active computer bays.
These computers are 30 years old.
Kate looks around in shock.
This isn't Skynet. There's nothing here. This is a fallout shelter for VIPs. Only they never got the warning. God damn it! There's nothing here!
He swipes the monitor off a desk and struggles to compose himself. Kate stares at him, her eyes brimming with tears. John limps towards her.
Why didn't he tell us? Why did he lead us down here?
They stand, facing each other.
To live. That was his mission.
John looks down at the digital readout on the detonator he's holding, then looks up at Kate with anguish.
There was never any stopping it.
John, we could just let it go.
John switches off the detonator, then slowly reaches out for a microphone.
This is John Connor at Crystal Peak.
Connor, what the hell is happening? Who's in charge there?
John's eyes glisten.
I am.
Connor, can you help us? This is Montana Civil Defense.
Kate takes hold of John's hand in a reassuring gesture.
By the time Skynet became self-aware, it had spread into millions of computer servers across the planet. Ordinary computers in office buildings, dorm rooms, everywhere. It was software in cyberspace. There was no system core. It could not be shut down. The attack began at 6:18 p.m., just as he said it would. Judgment Day. The day the human race was nearly destroyed by the weapons they'd built to protect themselves.
Nuclear explosions.
I should have realized our destiny was never to stop Judgment Day. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Continual explosions across the globe from space.
The Terminator knew. He tried to tell us. But I didn't want to hear it. Maybe the future has been written. I don't know. All I know is what the Terminator taught me. Never stop fighting. And I never will. The battle has just begun.
The Terminator's chrome skull lies half buried in thick ash. Its one remaining red eye dims, then goes black.